This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com and be sure to use discount code 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS to save 10%. TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 197 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome to the show. On this week's show, we're going to be going all over the D23 experience. What we're first going to do is talk to Sam and Charlotte about their experiences at the D23 convention, and then we're going to go into some of those great park and resort announcements we heard from that park and resorts panel. But before we get into that, let's see who's on the show. Now, from that introduction, you probably have a hint that we have Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. Glad to be here with you and Sam.
Well, it's great to have you back. It's been a little while since we've all talked together, so this is going to be kind of a fun show. We also have Sam with us this week. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is great, Ed. Can't wait to start talking about D23, Disneyland. Hopefully you guys got to listen to that show from the 62nd birthday. That was really cool to be there. But D23, oh my gosh, the stuff to talk about.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. This is going to be really, really fun. And also on the show with us tonight, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
What is happening? Happy to be here. I feel like it's been a while.
Well, it seems like it has. Everybody's been traveling and bebopping around the country, and we've all finally gotten back to our homes.
It's the start of the nerd's year again. It's like we have a season, so it's our new season.
It's interesting, but that's true. Yeah.
Summer is the season.
And we're looking forward to the meetups now. So,
that's right.
Although, I think one of us does have a trip coming up pretty soon. Sam?
Yeah, I'm headed down in just a few weeks to Walt Disney World. Got to get that in.
Absolutely.
You know, Disneyland, Disney World, the same summer. That's a great summer.
I know. Tell me about it. Banshee Fast Passes already?
Yes. Flight of Passage Fast Passes done, ready. And I think we have Soarin' done and ready as well.
If you have a list of, and we talked about this on the live show last night, but if you have a list of your favorite attractions now at Animal Kingdom, Sam, prepare for that to change.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Now, what was the other thing? I think Mission Space ought to be open for you now, too.
Hey, Gary Sinise and his hair plugs got the boot.
Oh, did they change the entire intro, too?
Apparently. That's the story I hear today. I forgot the young lady who is the actress in it now, but she is from... Oh, God. Give me a second, I'll let you know who she is.
So no more Gary Sinise?
Gary Sinise is gone. Lieutenant Dan is
Lieutenant
gone.
Lieutenant Dan can't
I always
fly us anymore.
The thing that stuck out for me with him was he had that eyeliner on too, for that ridiculous thing. Oh, whatever. But he was, you know, and that matched the movie that he was in, Mission to Mars. So that made sense.
Yes, it's the actress that is going to be in the thing now is Gina Torres, who plays Lauren in Westworld. I don't know who that is. She was also from something. Oh, Gina, she always played Zoe on Firefly. I don't know what either one of those are, but Gina Torres, that's going to be new.
Okay. She was also in that show Suits. She was the boss of the lawyer firm in Suits. And she was in Firefly. The character was married to... The redheaded guy who plays the voice for the robot in Rogue One. Anyway, good. She's a very good actress.
Is that a recent change?
Oh, I know who she is. Okay, I didn't realize that's who that was. But yeah, she was, yeah.
Jimmy, is that a recent change, or is this all part of the D23 announcements?
Well, no, this is a recent change. The Mission Space was closed through June and July, and it might have been closed down in May. And it's been doing some rehabbing, and what we found out was that they have a new animation. So you have the orange, which is the old one, and the green is going to be now in orbit around the planet Earth. So you're going to see different locations like Hawaii and Florida and things like that. I don't know how the car looks. I don't know if that's going to be any different. But the thing is, they make it so that the little kids can get on the ride also.
And the old adults who can't handle orange.
Oh, right. But I'm looking forward to green just to see something new. Don't get me wrong.
Agreed.
It's going to be fun.
To your point, Ed,
I thought that was a D23 announcement.
I don't think so.
But that's cool.
Now, I think they might have just tied into D23 because they just happened to be opening it up after D23, so they kind of made it kind of shebangy. But no, Mission Space's been closed for 3-4 months.
Okay.
But
well, it was part of the announcements, but that's cool. It's already there. Nice.
Exactly. Sam is right, because it was during the Parks and Resorts panel that they said that Mission Space will reopen with a new track this summer. But they didn't announce that it was Gina Torres or Gary Sinise was leaving or anything like that.
To your point, Ed, I didn't have any idea who she was until you said Suits, which we watched. So when I looked up, I Googled her. She plays Jessica Pearson in Suits.
Oh, yeah, no. She's like I said, a really good actress. So
yeah,
that'll be
very
a nice changeup.
Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to riding that, because Mission Space may be what Soren should have been. That could be cool, flying around the Earth. I like it.
True. At least the green side. So we're seeing now. Here's the other side of it, because they don't have the lighter version of the regular mission anymore. So that's going to be interesting in that regard. You do miss out. If you don't want to spin around, you're not going to see the one mission.
Well,
I've never seen it.
And I was thinking the opposite, that is that, you know, I like the orange, so I've never ridden the green because there was no reason for me to do it. But now there's actually a reason for me to do both, because I want to go see the other film.
Right.
Yep, good point. Good point.
I think that another thing they said they did was... they redid the film itself is supposed to be much sharper. Like, if you remember, you ride Mission Space, that film was just kind of grainy. It was okay, but apparently they must have redid those screens to give you a much sharper, realistic
view. 4K, baby. 4K.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, I love Mission Space. I ride that with a smile every time. I'm an astronaut kid of the 60s and 70s. So.
Yeah, I enjoy it, too.
Okay, guys, well, before we get into talking more about the D23 updates, I want to find out what it was like actually being there. So who wants to go first, Sam or Charlotte?
Let Sam go first, since he's an old pro at it.
Let me go first. Okay,
yeah.
So let's preface this by saying that I was at D23 with my family. So there wasn't just me. I had my wife, my daughter, my son were there. They had things that they wanted to do. I had things that I wanted to do. The app was absolutely invaluable, the way that you use that thing, because it gave you all of the latest updates and announcements. Be prepared to wait in line. In fact, we stayed at the Marriott Convention Center, which is right across the causeway, not even the street, from the convention center. And the second day, after waiting in the queue to get through the security lines, my phone had 1.7 miles before we got inside the convention center.
Wow. Now, before we get too far, I'm going to kind of jump in here every so often. You mentioned an app. What kind of app?
Absolutely. A phone on the app, the D23 Expo. In fact, you guys can download it now, which basically had push notifications and the schedule was always there. So you could easily go into that app and find out what was happening.
Disney has this down really well. I mean, we were just talking before the show about the cruise app and how well that is actually to have that on the boat with you. So very cool to hear about that.
So and that brought into things like Center Stage, which is where the talent was signing autographs. It brought in other venues that weren't advertised, where you know Consumer Products was having presentations, Pixar was having presentations, and you got all these other things in there. So at any point in time, you could see that there were 5 things happening, and you can be at any one of those. Of course, the hardest part is deciding which one you want to be in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because that happens the whole expo, which is incredible.
Yes.
Did you have to decide a long time beforehand what you're going to do, or did you pick that weekend?
I think for some of the bigger events, you need to pick ahead of time. But my mind and where I'm coming from, when I look at the Disney Legends Award or the Pixar and Walt Disney Animation, Parks and Resorts, these are the big hall expos where everyone wants to get into, and it's also the ones that people capture and share, and you find lots of things on it. So what I do is look at things like Stage 28 or the Walt Disney Archives stage, which tend to be, you know, second or third floor, a little bit out of the way, maybe not as, as much congestion, but that's where you see things like Pirates of the Caribbean 50 years or things like Walking with Giants, the virtual tour through the Hyperion Studios, or the Park Stars, which is a presentation all about original characters of the Disney parks. That's where I gravitated to those nerdier presentations, for lack of a better term, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Now, I saw one of the stages. It was almost exclusively scheduling that type of events in, like, the one room. It was pretty cool.
The archive stage, that's all they did, were presentations from the Disney archives, and it just one after the other, whether it was the maps, whether it was that's really where I wanted to be. And while I'm doing that, the family spent most of the time at center stage waiting for autographs and photographs with Descendants 2 was really big. They spent some time with Bizarre Bark and those people, and there's a whole list of things that they were doing that kept them busy, and that's what they wanted. So it's good for everybody. I'm in one location, and they're in another location.
Everyone's happy.
At the end of the day, I would, you know, figure out where they were. If I was out of a session, would then meet down on the expo floor because that's where all the cool stuff was happening. And they spent their time in the Talent Central was where the people were, signing autographs or doing whatever. And in two occasions, I was absolutely floored when we got back down there. One was my daughter had just finished taking pictures with I don't even know who it was. And she said, "Who's that sitting right there? All by themselves. I feel bad for him. I'm going to go talk to him." And I do a double take. It's Dave Smith.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going, "Are you kidding me?" And I immediately jump in line and I stop to him. And
in front of
Dave,
your daughter.
She gets a picture. She's just being nice, right? Because she sees there's nobody there because everybody's in line for the others. I got 15 minutes to talk to Dave Smith. I wish I had my recorder.
I'm asking
him about walking, right? This is the guy, and this is what I explained to my kids. This is the gentleman that started the archives. He walked into Walt's office after Walt passed away and documented everything that was in that room.
Think about
that for a second. Amazing.
I just got his latest book from the Disney Movie Rewards, the Disney A to Z.
A to Z, what is it, Rev 6 or 7 or something?
Yeah, something. It's big, dude. I saw it. I'm always looking for cool things like that that I would enjoy on the Disney Movie Rewards because a lot of stuff's, you know, not that it's okay. But I saw that pop up, and I'm like, man, I got to have it. And when I got home from Disney World, it was here, and, God, that thing is it's ridiculous. It's like everything. I mean, it is literally A to Z. Just about anything Disney you want to know is in that book.
And earlier version of that, and he was, signing that book, by the way, if people had acquired it there, which is really cool. So that was one of them, and by the way, I talked to Dave about the Disney Archives and the Archives presentation, which is all about Pirates of the Caribbean, but I don't want to get too deep there. We'll save that for another show. Because I after that, another day, I'm walking through one of the last days, and walking through the expo with the family, and they're doing their thing, and oh my gosh, no line. A gentleman sitting, signing autographs, is Marty Sklar.
Oh.
And I stop, and I immediately purchase one little spark. He autographs it for me to Sam, be the spark, Marty Sklar, D23 2017. That's how he autographs it.
Oh, my God.
And I talk to him for 5 to 8 minutes before somebody else came up. And it was all about story because I thanked him for everything he did, right? Because Marty, for those of you that don't know, was hired by Walt Disney 2 months before Disneyland opened to write the newspaper for Disneyland. That was his first job. And he was at every park opening all the way up through Shanghai just 2 years ago in 2015.
Yeah, I think he's like one of the only people to be at every single
the
one.
Only
of
one
the-
though.
Yeah,
at everyone,
every Disney park opening, he was there.
And the coolest part about that was, you know, I didn't mention earlier because I wanted to talk about Marty here. When I'm looking at those breakout sessions, I go to the sessions where I can see people like Tony Baxter and Marty Sklar and Richard Sherman. That's what I circle because these to me are living legends, right? And I want to talk to them and watch them and take that in. So I saw Marty in a bunch of different places.
To your point, I think those type of things. I mean, you have to be. I always try and float things like that, stories about those type of people, like in the Disney Nerds group. And I find that it doesn't get that much attention because I think I take for granted how nerdy we really are, that even amongst Disney nerds, I think the average fan just doesn't, not that they don't appreciate it, but they don't. I don't know if they dig that deep as much as we do when we're at something like that.
Yeah, and I right. love that history is why I love doing this, right? That's yeah. the part of me that I love, that history and seeing how events unfold and how things happened. And I watched Marty in the Pirates of the Caribbean 50 Years of Swashbuckling, which I completely recorded, and the Disney Parks Maps. He was in that breakout session. And on the last day in the Legends of Disney Imagineering, where they gave away the latest Legends Award, he and Tony Baxter sat down with John Stamos, right, from Full House, mm-hmm. who was the moderator here, and they just talked. He did good. A huge
he,
idiot,
he is
right?
known. He's like as known as like a huge, huge Disney nerd. Like at one
he
time,
is.
At one time he owned, and he may still, but at one time he owned the original D from the original Disneyland side.
He still does. It's in his backyard, and if you do
awesome
it for the Hollywood Stars, they point it out. That's the D. That's John Stamos.
That's awesome.
Now the funny wow. part was that hearing the back and forth between Marty, Tony, and John Stamos was awesome. Because John's going, you guys are both Disney legends. Can I buy your awards? One of your jokes, right? Can I have them? Can I buy them? But any way you look at it, I'm actually editing the video from that particular breakout session because I want to upload that over to Sam's Disney Diary. But all of that said, how cool it was, how bittersweet is it that one of the first things you learn when you come back is that that presentation I recorded was Marty's last public presentation.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's amazing.
He passed away on July 27th, which is probably when I was uploading the Pirates of the Caribbean video. And I just, so bittersweet, but looking back at it, I'm so glad that I was able to talk to him for a little while. And again, he talked about story. It's all about story. And in fact, he has a very deep respect for the Sherman Brothers and some things that we talked about before on the show. And when I talk to him, he says the Sherman Brothers make it so easy to build attractions. And they make it easy because with a song, you immediately know the story and the character. And the Imagineers don't have to do any pre-story. You know exactly where you are. As soon as you hear the music for Peter Pan, you know exactly where you are. As soon as mm-hmm. you hear, One Little Spark, you know where you are. And he just went on and on about it. And that's another show altogether, but absolutely amazing. One Little Spark, Mickey's Ten Commandments. I read the entire thing here in the last few days, and it's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful read.
I am certainly looking forward to the video once you edit that and get that out there. I'm definitely looking forward to watching that.
It was cool. And what was even cooler, what they did in this video is they reminisced about fellow Imagineers that are no longer with us. So Tony and Marty talked about Ub Iwerks, and they talked about, you go right down the list of these Imagineers that influenced Disney Parks, and Herb Ryman, and just what they meant, and Marty's got the picture, and we've all seen the picture of Walt Disney World, 100 acres of ground completely cleared with a big yellow X on it, and standing mm-hmm. on that X is Marty Scarr. It's just amazing to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm looking at the other book, Dream It, Do It. Either way, it's a great read. Very, very cool, Sam. You definitely lucked out.
Absolutely. And it's bittersweet, and I'm, it just kind of stinks. But what are you going to do? I want to be like, here's the list. I want to be like you. Songs that put you immediately in a place. I want to be like you. I've Got No Strings. Give a Little Whistle. He's a Tramp. Let It Go. Baby Mine. When Somebody Loved Me, and he just goes down the list of why the Sherman Brothers made it so easy. And it was cool because Richard was there too. Anyway.
Mm. That's awesome.
Very cool.
Next D23, I'm hanging with Sam because he definitely hit things that I wish that I had hit and not focused on. This was my first D23. I went in as a complete noob. I had heard it was big. Big is nothing compared to what it really was. The first morning, I was outside for almost 3 hours before I got in. And I guess that probably wasn't that bad. And
now, is that with some? Is that you already had a ticket to get in, and this is just the line to get in through security, or did you have to buy a ticket to get in also?
I already had my ticket. This was the first morning when you get in, and they scan your ticket, and you get your D23 bag and your program and things like that. And I thought I had heard that there, you know, a lot of people slept overnight. We did not sleep overnight. We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel, and I paid for the hotel, so I'm going to sleep in there and not in the basement of the Anaheim Convention Center. But a lot of people did sleep in the basement, and a lot of people were outside. So I guess 3 hours waiting was not as bad as some people, but it definitely was way more than I expected. There was just so much more. There's so many different tracks. There were so many different sessions. You really did have to pick what you wanted. But you also had to be willing to compromise, because I was in line for one session on Friday, and before we got in, after we had waited like 2.5 hours or so, they came back and said, there's no more room. You're not going to get in. So you immediately change plans, change gears. And I ended up going to the Golden Girls session for that.
Oh, I saw that. And it was have there?
Betty White did not show up. None of the original actors were there, but the set designers, the producers, the directors, the writers, they were there. It was very good. It was touching. There was a lot of laughing. There was some crying. There was a lot of remembering of the ones that had already passed. A lot of talk about Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan. And so that was great. And there was a lot of great clips. And then we had a sing-along at the end. I enjoyed it very much because I loved the Golden Girls. And so I was glad that when my plans changed, that I was able to catch. But for 2019, I'm going to go with a whole different way of looking at it. And I think I'm going to trail Sam. I'm going to be his shadow because he's right. If you're focused on the big tracks and the big sessions, you're missing a lot of these little things and meeting with people. I missed meeting with Marty for like less than 10 minutes. I got to the place where he was and he had just left. And so I was especially disappointed about that after he passed. Of course, I felt like I had my one chance and I missed it because I was waiting in line somewhere else. But that's just the nature of the beast at D23. There's a lot of waiting in line.
Sure. Now, and I tell you what, it kind of plays in because you're right. The big, like the park and resort panel and the big panels like that, the movie panels, you get that information almost instantaneously now.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are tweeting out what happened. We were actually walking through Walt Disney World and we're throwing back and forth to each other because we're getting these like updates. Hey, they just announced this. Hey, the new hotel here. And it was really kind of fun walking back and forth, but we were seeing the announcements just almost like as soon as they were coming out.
Right.
So
pretty much,
you definitely, you're right, can spend the time in those smaller panels and really just catch the information afterward as it comes out.
That's true, and you know, you don't get the press, the smaller panels. Like, I didn't know about the Golden Girls panel, other than I think I saw you posted, but that's great. That's a great story, though, and that's probably, I agree what Ed says. A lot of those, the bigger things, you're going to hear those very quickly, regardless. So, I think the smaller panels, the more nerdy stuff, and that's the stuff that you're really going to remember.
Right.
Sure, and that's really what D23 is about.
Yes.
It's not really the Comic-Con crowd. It's the crowd that basically wants to get more information about their Disney information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's plenty of people dressed up in some outrageous costumes, let me tell you.
Oh, for sure.
So Comic-Con is there.
Cosplay is amazing. I mean, it was on point, for sure. And
any
that
favorites?
Was another thing that I missed. I missed the whole Masquerade because I was in a line waiting to get into the session that I never made it into. So I would love to see D23 go to 4 days instead of three. It just seems so big. Like, there is just so much to do that it's just impossible to catch as much as you would like to.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that. Now, go through some of the other panels you made it to.
Well, I definitely went to the parks and resorts. Alan Menken was who I closed out with. That was my last session on Sunday. And I would pay everything I did again just for that. That was that alone was worth it more than any. The whole time had been great. Now, don't get me wrong. I had very much enjoyed it. But the Alan Menken concert, I was in tears, like gulping, sobbing, emotional tears at the end because it moved me so much. And just his storytelling abilities and how, you know, he remembers his partner, you know, his music partner, and just how he came up. They came up with so many of the songs that we know in our hearts. I mean, you just do a couple of little bars of any of his music and you immediately know what song it is. So it was fantastic. And I would spend all of that D23 money again, just for a concert like that. It was fantastic.
So you're hitting on something that Jen said when we did our preview show, which is, you hate yourself while you're standing in line and you're asking yourself, why did I do this to myself? Why am I walking 1.7 miles and waiting 3 hours? Mm-hmm. It's to have that experience.
Absolutely.
And that's why we do it again.
Absolutely. I think, believe it or not, I didn't hit as many panels as I would have liked to. I spent a lot more time on the expo floor than I would like to admit. But there was just so much to see and do. There was a Pixar panel on the floor. I really thought that was in a little bit of a weird place, but because it was just a really loud location and not great for hearing who was speaking. But for about 2 hours, one of the lead illustrators from Pixar, I'm so sorry that her name is blowing my mind right now. But she came on and really discussed Pixar from the ground up and a lot of what they look for and the journey from an idea to the theater. And it was just so interesting to hear that, you know, a lot of these Pixar movies take on average 4 to 6 years from idea to theater, some of them even longer. And some of the challenges that they talk about. And she was really encouraging to young artists. You know, she got a lot of questions at the end. She took so many questions, which was really a great thing. And a lot of the younger people were asking how they could get in. And she just, you know, keep drawing, keep trying, keep at it, and don't give up. And be in the right place at the right time, which is, you know, a lot of the people here in the Disney world. They were at the right place at the right time and didn't give up. And so that was just a really great, inspiring talk. And I really want to go to the Pixar Studios now because it just looks like the most fun place to work in the world.
Hmm. Yes, it does. Okay, well, Sam, what other panels did you hit?
Oh, let's see. I mentioned a couple of them. Park Stars, original characters of the Disney theme parks. That was a cool one. Where they talked about all the original characters, which you don't think about, right? So mm-hmm. The mom and dad from the Carousel of Progress, and they went through kind of the top 10 and who were the best ones, and it's definitely a topic for a show. In fact, each of these could be a topic for the show someday, that's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
The creating the worlds in Pixar's universe was interesting. This is one where there was no photography, no cameras. And by the way, when they say that, they won't even let you use your phone. There are security guards just walking up and down everywhere. But it poses an interesting question. Like, what's the sky look like inside somebody's mind? And how do you come up with that as a background when you're told that as an artist? Which was interesting to hear them walk through all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A Kiss Goodnight with Richard Sherman and Floyd Norman. That was about the new book, A Kiss Goodnight. That was a cool one. I skipped the history of Disney postage stamps, but you know what? I'm sure it was just as intense as some of the other things. Disney
people,
and Pixar did that and animated.
Are freaking out right now because of the villain stamps available right now at the post office. Like, people are literally
Is that what that is? I saw something on Facebook mm-hmm. where somebody was freaking out with a big sheet of stamps.
That's it. It was in the group. Yeah, it's, that you can get those at the post office.
That was an afternoon breakout session, and at noon that day, I happened to be waiting in line for the D23 Archives exhibit, which was all about pirates. Talk about that in a second. And while I'm in line, the Postmaster General was on the center stage in this main hall unveiling these new postage stamps.
That's
and
awesome.
By the way, they had a pop-up post office inside the expo hall where you can buy them right there.
That's so cool.
Oh,
that's
perfect.
Crazy, isn't it? I'm like, it's a postmaster. What is going
and
on
all those
here?
People, yeah. All those people kicking themselves when they got home after not buying them there and finding out they can't get them at home.
Or
they're running out or whatever is happening.
I just thought it was, wow, that is pretty darn interesting, to say the least. Another great one was Mark Davis Goes to Wed. Mark Davis, the famous Imagineer, right? Mark and Alice Davis. And this is a couple of Imagineers that are working on a book about his life. And it's really cool. Some of the pictures that they showed, one of them I tweeted because it was amazing. They said it was the first time it was ever seen. And it was a model of It's a Small World. And Walt's head was kind of popped up in the middle and he was looking at it from the guest perspective. And it had to be 1965-ish because it was a... it's somewhere around in that. It was really, really cool to see. And what did I do the last day here? Voices of the Disney Parks. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Voices of Disney Parks is essentially a breakout session, which is on Sam's Disney Diary now, where you're on stage are 10 of the voices from Disney attractions. And
that's all
the voices and break into that. One of them was Darth Vader for... Darth Vader for the Jedi Training Academy and for the interactive
Star
meeting
Tours.
So is that, but is it, did they have, and I didn't watch it yet, but did they have some of the more like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but maybe some of the voices that you wouldn't recognize, like the guy that does
the monorail announcer
or the announcer for the Magic Kingdom or, you know, those type of guys that are maybe not tied to a specific character, but just we're used to hearing their voice.
So I would say that it was heavy Disneyland. So the voice of Disneyland, the voice of California Adventure, who, by the way, are husband and wife, and there's an interesting story that they tell about that. But there are some others. So the same guy that does Darth Vader does the spiel on the top of Spaceship Earth where you're time travelers. You're turning around to go down backwards. And it's amazing. The same guy does both those things. One of the gentlemen started in Disney in 1959 in the animation studio, and he's essentially most of the Country Bears. And it just went on from there. The mom from Carousel of Progress, Corey Burton, who is lots of pirates from Pirates of the Caribbean. It's an amazing breakout. I absolutely love that one.
Cool. I'll have to watch that.
It was good.
Okay, well, you both mentioned it, so let's talk about this a little bit. The expo floor.
Ugh.
So what's the deal with that? I mean, they have a lot of tables set up with people trying to sell things or display or what?
There is so much.
I've read that you can actually go there and not do a breakout session at all, that you could spend 2 days just on the expo floor.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that. Well, there are the stores, the official stores, like the Disney store and the Mickey's of Glendale store. Then there is a section for Pixar. There was a Star Wars section where they were doing, or where they had some of the props, but also the large mock-up of what Galaxy's Edge is going to look like. And so there was a lot of detail to that. There were pin shops. There was the minivan, but not the minivan that they just introduced at Walt Disney World. This was a Honda special edition minivan for D23. There was a lot of costumes. There were Minnie Mouse costumes from all the different parks around this minivan, but there were also a lot of the dresses of from the more recent live action movies. So Maleficent's dress and Giselle's dress. Cinderella's dress, Belle's dress, those were there, which was really neat to see. Then there was a large area for the Pirates of the Caribbean exhibit, which I never was able to see. And I'm still like beating myself up because I didn't get in line for that and wait to see it, because my friend that I was with said it was so worth it. And so, yeah, I'm a little disappointed in myself for that one. Then, of course, there's food stands everywhere. Then there's other kinds of vendors selling things. You know, there's like the name of the furniture company, Ethan Allen. There was Ethan Allen. They had their Disney furniture. There were displays of new lines coming to Toys R Us and to Target of, you know, kids' toys and furniture. And there was so much. And this was bigger than you could possibly imagine. And then on the last side was all of like the independent vendors. So this was basically set up in three sections. You had the middle section, which had center stage that Sam was talking about earlier. The one section to the left that had the official Disney stores, the Pixar, the dresses, that kind of the Star Wars. And then to the right was all of the independent vendors. And, you know, they're selling anything and everything Disney, backpacks and towels and, you know, you name it, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, there were other podcasters and things set up over there doing live videos and things like that. So it was so big and so loud and so overwhelming. There were people, there was a stand where they were making designer coffee or designs on coffee. I have a lot of pictures of those that I can load up to our Facebook page. And, you know, they little espressos, but they had like Tiana on it or Mickey Mouse or Belle or Elsa, just really great coffee art. It was amazing.
And very cool.
Pancake art fits right in there.
I saw the pancake art fits right in there.
But when you look at that show floor, 80% of it is the Disney Company, the Walt Disney Company, and then maybe 20% is that Emporium, what they called it, which is really like a mini Disneyana conference, right? Everybody had their own little things, and they were selling their stuff. But when you look through here, there are stages in here, like the center stage we talked about. But Disney Consumer Products had a stage. The Disney Dream Store had signings. Disney Pixar Animation Studio had presentations. Marvel Studios has presentations. The Music Emporium had singers come in and doing autographs. There was a parade twice a day, for crying out loud, for this thing.
That's where I saw Mark Hamill in the parade.
And there are people lined up to see these people in the parade. And when you look at it, you can absolutely spend that much time here, right? The Disney Dream Store and Mickey's of Glendale, two stores that people wait in line a long time to get into. Just amazing. Parks and Resorts was probably the one expo that everybody wanted to see, and that's where the Star Wars model was, right? Galaxy's Edge.
And right.
I went live on the show at one point when an Imagineer explained what was happening there, and we'll get to that in a second. The Disney Archives this year, because it was a pirate's life for me, they always have some cool stuff. So 2 years ago, it was all about Disneyland's 60th anniversary. When we say the Archives, and that conversation I had with Dave Smith, I thanked him for selecting for getting some of that stuff. And he said, oh, no, that's all Pirates of the Caribbean. That's all the movies and things like that. I'm like, no, it's not. When you went into this, it was a complete history of what turns out was Walt's infatuation with pirates. It goes all the way back to the Alice comedies, when there was one episode that's a lost episode devoted to Alice foils the pirates. And then it went to Mickey Mouse cartoons and a Donald Duck cartoon. In 1938, Mickey Mouse Shanghaied was a cartoon short all about pirates. And in fact, that one in Sam's Disney Diary for the 50th anniversary, there's a song in it from 20 years before Pirates of the Caribbean that sounds a lot like Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, but slightly different. And that's – I digress there. But – keep going down Pirates. You have Pirates, Muppets, Treasure Island. In fact, Treasure Island, the first Walt Disney live-action movie, was based on Pirates. And the history and what they showed Walt actually wanted that to be more like Mary Poppins. He wanted to have animation and pirates in it, but they couldn't quite pull it off yet. And that waited for Mary Poppins, which was interesting to read. Mm-hmm. And in another sort of behind-the-scenes history, Ken Anderson, who's responsible for lots of the things that are inside the Haunted Mansion, actually drew ghosts that were pirates that were designed for the Haunted Mansion. But they never quite made it. But if you look at the sketches, you can see that they made it in the Pirates of the Caribbean, which was really cool. And one of them, Captain Bartholomew, I forget his last name, but I'll get it because when they redid Haunted Mansion and Walt Disney World, he has a gravestone outside that comes from that original artwork. And the way that backstory went was that this pirate got married and his wife discovered later that he was a pirate, and there was some fight that ensued, and it ended up with that pirate committing suicide by hanging himself and becoming the ghost host. I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on. Of course, none of that ended up being the backstory, but that's it. The whole thing was written right there to read, and I'm going, this is amazing. This is gold.
That is gold. That's very cool.
It was cool. And so that's what I'm doing, in waiting in line 45 minutes to get in there and just reading all this stuff and spending an hour inside this thing going, I need to get to park maps. I got to go. But it's good. That's what D23 is to me. It's awesome.
Nice. Excellent. You know, guys, I tell you what, the experience you both had at D23, it really makes me want to kind of get ready for the next one that's going to come around. So I think I might be tagging along with Sam in 2 years, too.
Awesome. Sam, you've got a whole entourage.
2019, we know. I'm waiting for the date. And you know what will be so cool about that? Is that D23 is going to be all about Walt Disney World 50th.
Oh, yes.
I'm already looking forward to it. But anyway, there's so much out of this past one we need to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Now, and I tell you what, for tonight, all we're going to do really is touch base with some of the announcements they made in the Park and Resorts panel. And we're not going to spend as much time as we probably could. And as we go through each of these announcements, we really could almost spend an entire show on each one.
We need 24 hours to go through these all, if you really
It's incredible. As we get more announcements, as we go down the road, we'll definitely be coming back and talking about these. Now, as we talked about Mission Space earlier, things like that kind of come out as the event comes closer. Like we found out who the new narrator is for the pre-show and things like that. So as we do find out more information, we'll be definitely touching base on all of these. But just to kind of make sure you heard some of these announcements, because they are incredible, we wanted to go over them tonight. So let's go in order of the panel itself, and let's start over in Hollywood Studios. So now, what they could not wait to do was bring up the entire Star Wars Land announcement. And I tell you what, just the level of excitement in the room was incredible for that. Everybody was waiting for it, and they finally announced the name of the land.
And it sounds like an Android phone, Galaxy's Edge.
There you go.
Like a soap opera, it sounds like, almost. but it's going to be Galaxy's Edge. So basically, it's a city or a town on the edge of the galaxy, way out on the outer rim. And they had some incredible new artist renditions of it. They had the big land 3D map of it.
The model was some incredible. Of the things
It just looked incredible. You guys were there. Anything really, really stand out?
I was there. That was one panel that I definitely sat for a few hours waiting for. And so the excitement, first of all, I just have to talk about how excited everyone was in that panel. I mean, when we got in there and got seated, and when the lights went down, the energy in there was crazy because all of these people were so excited to hear what was coming. And I know that I myself yelled and gasped and laughed and cheered almost every time there was a great announcement, and everyone around me did too. So just having thousands of people in the same room automatically all scream out when they hear the name of Galaxy's Edge was just, that was a super cool experience for me. I'm glad that I did sit in that one, even though, yes, of course, it was tweeting out live and I could have been somewhere else and experienced something different. I'm so glad that I sat in that. It was a great panel. just hearing everything that was coming for Star Wars Land, for Galaxy's Edge, was just really cool. They talked about we are going to get a cantina. Rex is going to be the DJ. And Rex is one of the droids, if some people aren't nerdy enough and remember who that is.
He's the Fly Star Tour.
Yep.
Right, exactly. So he's going to be the DJ for the new cantina. There's going to be, like, just like they have done for Pandora, there's going to be their a complete Galaxy's Edge menu when it comes to food and drinks. I'm really excited about that. I hope we're not eating astronaut ice cream, though. So
it's going to be blue milk.
Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, like we said, we can almost spend a show on each one of these announcements.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you go that quick. Sorry. This one, you had to follow up with the model in the expo hall. And specifically because there's Imagineers all over the place. And I did my best to try to trip them up and ask them questions that I knew they couldn't answer. Like, this is the model for Disneyland, right? Yes, we knew that. They said it's Disneyland, and we also learned that Disneyland's going to open almost a month before Walt Disney World.
Right.
Disneyland has three different entrances. Disney World will have two entrances. Disney World has Star Tours. Disneyland does not, because that's over at Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. or over at Disneyland proper. My question was, so that TIE fighter right there, is that a Rebel TIE fighter? Knowing that it isn't, it's First Order, right? So I had mm-hmm. to kind of get that out there. Then how does Star Tours play into this? Is Star Tours part of Walt Disney World's Galaxy's Edge, or is Star Tours still separate? And the reply I got was, well, we really haven't made those final decisions yet. So I sort of left it at that. The other thing I asked, you have several walk-around characters that were announced, BB-8, Chewbacca, Rex, and Kylo Ren. I asked about R2-D2, because in the original launch bay concept art from 2 years ago, we saw the walk-around R2-D2 character that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really get an answer, but Walt Disney World did recently apply for a patent that's specifically around free-moving walk-around characters, which I thought was kind of interesting. But anyway, Galaxy's Edge, more questions than answers, but we're getting there, and this is going to be awesome in 2 years.
So awesome.
Yep, can't wait. Now, one of the other announcements that came out of Hollywood Studios was something of a sad announcement. In that, well, first let's say the good news. Mickey Mouse is going to get himself an attraction. The Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is going to take over the Great Movie Ride Theater, the Chinese theater mm-hmm. over there. So the previews they showed for it look pretty good. They're going to be definitely using display animation, and it looks phenomenal. It's going to be hard getting over the Great Movie Ride going away, though.
Oh, no doubt. It's definitely, because that's a classic, and it's one of the original when MGM was open. So when it's gone, there will be no original.
It was the last original, yes.
It's the last original.
Last opening day attraction.
Now, the one thing that caught my eye was that the animation they're going to be using is the current Mickey Mouse animation, the way they're drawing them right now, which they're going to use that throughout the attraction, from what I understand. And that is, it's different. It's very different than what you've been used to the last, like, 70, 80 years. And it's going to be interesting to see how the entire ride. Now, the one clip they did show at the panel looked very interesting. I mean, it was really cool how they flipped the screen. It was really high-definition graphics. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they do this entire attraction. I mean, potentially it could be really good.
Apparently,
now, it was said,
these young whippersnappers like this new Mickey, but...
What young whippersnappers?
I would like to see the
my kids
old.
Love Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I digress.
I think that this Mickey Mouse is more worldly appealing and not necessarily Americanized appealing.
The
if that makes any
in
sense.
Florida.
I know, but Florida is also where the world travelers.
If it was in Paris, come. I could get it. If it was in Paris, I understand. Right. It's in Florida.
When I first heard the announcement, my first instinct was that, well, they're going to probably flash through all the different versions of Mickey Mouse as he's come about,
cool.
from Walt drawing him up until the present. but it doesn't sound like that the more I listen to the announcement again.
Yeah, I would love that. I was thinking the same thing, that it would be great to start from, you know, Steamboat Willie to get to the Mickey of now, but it doesn't look that way. A couple of things that did stand out for me is that this is going to be a whole new kind of experience. It's going to, they called it 2.5D, not 3D. There's no glasses required.
Right. Okay.
And that this attraction will have more hidden Mickeys than any attraction in the world.
And they said guaranteed.
Guaranteed, exactly. So
if you have screens, you can put as many as you want in the screen.
It's true, but they have to be hidden. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. I'm very much looking forward to this. Mickey Mouse has needed a ride for a long time. It's sad to see Great Movie Ride go, though. It really is.
Interesting that they did not say it was replacing the Great Movie Ride in the panel. We read about that later.
Oh, right.
They did not say it. And I think they were scared of the reaction.
They did.
Sure.
They did not say it. But when they were giving the little video preview, there was a brief half second of the front of the Chinese theater.
Right.
They never said it. You just saw a tiny little peek of the front of the Chinese theater, and that's when I knew exactly where it was going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just gotta wait for them to.
Overall, I think, you know, this is one of the ones that, you know, you hate to see Great Movie Ride go, but
yeah.
Overall, from the announcements, I loved how many announcements they had of things that are coming and that are just a net gain. Things that are being added to Walt Disney World that are not replacing things. They're just brand new and brand new spaces.
Well, let's go to Epcot to discuss that. Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, let's go over to Magic Kingdom real quick, because that was also one of the big things we were waiting to hear the announcement is what are they going to replace Stitch with, or what are they going to do over at the Speedway? And, well, we found out the answer that they're not doing anything with either of those attractions, but they are sticking something in Tomorrowland. We're going to be getting the Tron-themed attraction, which to me sounds really awesome because I love Tron. I have not seen the it's the Hong Kong version.
Yeah, the lights
Shanghai.
I haven't seen that yet. Or Shanghai. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm really looking forward to just checking it out.
Oh, I watched the video.
It's the best ride in their park.
The YouTube video, dude. It looks ridiculous.
It's an attraction that's elevated. It's not on the ground, which means you could do it over the Speedway, which is cool.
Right, which is cool. And actually, that's one of the options, or that's one of the features that I noticed in Disneyland that isn't in the Walt Disney World, Walt Disney Tomorrowland. Yep. Walt Disney World Tomorrowland is that there's not that second level.
Or third level
in
some cases.
In California.
Right?
True, mm-hmm. True. California, the area for all the Star Wars, the launch bay is up on the second floor. Space Mountain's on the second floor. Mm. The monorail, you have to go up to the second floor to get up to the on top.
And the monorail goes above that. So, yeah, you're right. It's mm-hmm. those levels of visual appeal that Walt wanted originally. He talked about that.
Right.
Right, and actually that fits pretty perfectly in Tomorrowland. So looking forward to that.
That's going to
be good.
I think it'll be great.
That's huge. Of all the things announced, that's probably one of the bigger ones. I mean, that we didn't know nothing about going into. I mean, obviously.
Right. Unexpected.
Yeah, obviously we knew a little bit about Star Wars and Toy Story and stuff like that. This is something that we heard a little chatter about it coming, you know, unconfirmed rumors right before D23. But up until that, we had no idea about this.
And I can't wait, Jim, because more questions and answers. Like how far outside of the berm is this going to go? It's got to go over the railroad track and go out towards the Contemporary. Are you going to be seeing this thing from the Contemporary? Is it going over the parking lot? I've got 20 questions. I can't wait to see this thing get built.
Yeah.
Is a train going to have a tunnel that goes through? I mean, there are so many questions. It's
an MO
for us. We need to know.
This is what keeps us as Disney nerds. This is what keeps us engaged and not bored with Disney. You know,
right? Keep moving forward. You have to say that ever evolving
and ever changing. And
so the second thing at Magic Kingdom we heard about is the 1920s style iconic Willis Theater from Kansas City is going to be added to the Magic Kingdom as a live entertainment theater.
Mm. Right off Main Street.
Off of Main Street, an entirely new venue for entertainment. Now, this immediately makes you think, and well, let me ask you guys, what did you think when you first heard this?
It sounds like the theater they used to have in Tomorrowland. Between the Carousel of Progress and Buzz?
It was more of a stage. It was outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. So I guess my first thought was, where are they going to put this sucker?
Yes, that's what my first thought was. Like, where on Main Street is this going?
So here's what's interesting in that announcement. It's not on Main Street. It's
off
Main Street.
Right.
To me.
Right. Maybe the little alleyway.
The little alleyway, but the building itself ends up in the parking lot that you walk past when you take that second path back between, when it's really crowded and there's fireworks and they open up the gates and you can walk behind Main Street, the overflow path. Mm-hmm. I think this sucker goes back there and they theme that road and we get two ways to potentially get down Main Street.
I think you're right. And I think that they'll end up opening that overflow permanently. They'll retheme that area, put the theater down there. And so it will be a new street off Main Street.
That may or may not be always connected to the rest of the park, but it's definitely a people eater. Think about it, an indoor entertainment venue. I immediately think of the Aladdin Theater. Well, it was the Aladdin Theater in DCA. Now it's the Hyperion Theater. But it's just a place to put a bunch of people to watch a show. In air conditioning. That's welcome.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait to see what kind of show it is.
It could be anything, right?
Anything. It could be anything.
It really could be anything from just the marching band type of to something Disney themed.
To the Frozen show or the Aladdin show or the Toy Story thing that they do on the cruise lines or that new,
exactly.
Any of that. Yeah.
Any of the ones that they do for the cruise line, because as they were discussing parks and resorts, they discussed the cruise line. And I know we don't have time for that tonight, but, you know, one of the cruise ships is getting a whole new stage show, Beauty and the Beast. So this could definitely be something like that for this new theater.
All right, Epcot, Ed, what's going on over there?
Well, there's a lot going on, but let's start with the food. They announced that new restaurant, which is going to be over next to Mission Space. Now, what I saw, that one looks pretty cool. And it initially reminded me or made me think of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally going to be up in the Wheel Space Station eating dinner.
That should be really cool.
An environment where the screens will make you believe that you are in outer space spinning around orbiting something. Which is kind of cool.
Hopefully not spinning
too fast. Well, that's the question of how fast can you spin, right? It's got to be this slow-moving thing. But at the same time, this is going to tie back to something else we haven't talked about yet, which is the Star Wars hotel that they're talking about. Because when you stay there, you are supposedly orbiting the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no windows. There's screens. So this technology is in both those. That's cool.
So it's like they're bringing the magic porthole technology from the cruise ships
to this. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Hmm. Yep, definitely can't wait. And the menu, hopefully they're going to take advantage of it being a restaurant in space, and the menu will have some choices or options that might be space enhanced or not enhanced, but, you know, really space
food.
You can't have that, the whole menu. Granted, but it'd be kind of cool to have some options like the astronauts. Might
I eat. Did not have a chance to eat at the Satuli Cantina, which is in Avatar Land, because I really wanted to eat there, but it was closed when we were there in the evening. But I listened to Lou Mangiello and Panda did a review of the food there, and they were talking about just how well it's themed, how they take things that are, you know, could be just things that we're used to, but present them in a way that makes them feel like they're different.
Now, I don't get the feel that's going to happen here, but I hope it does.
So I was hoping they would do things like that in Star Wars Land. I'm hoping they'll do things like that in this new outer space restaurant, things that, you know what, probably tastes familiar, and it's not going to be far stretching from what we're used to, but the presentation, it is in a way that that makes it look a little different and feel a little different.
Right.
Two things came to mind for me when I first saw this. Okay, what happens to the garden spot, or not the garden spot, the festival center? That's my first question. And my second question was, does Epcot really need another restaurant?
Well, is it definitely going to be? No,
we don't know that.
Okay,
right.
Just,
yeah,
just
we don't know
point that.
That
out, because I didn't could think it was definitely game in there, and there's a potential. Mm-hmm. They could put something between Test Track
or
and Mission Space on that side.
It could be in there, but not it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of room in there. There's right. a huge building behind there where Star Tours once was.
Right.
True.
Or not
true.
Star Tours, Body Works.
Oh, you're right.
Body Works.
Body Works. Like you're going behind Mission Space to the back and then
yeah.
going left. So you're going behind.
Yeah, and there's a whole, isn't there a whole second floor in that building too?
In the back, there's
yeah, it could be
of
anywhere.
Is. I think the point is it could be in it. I don't think it's the whole thing. That's a
right. You don't have to take over the whole building. You could
right.
still utilize that building somewhat as that restaurant, and then also still have floor festival space available for festival centers and those type of things.
Especially right. if when you're in here, the windows are all screens. You could be underground and not know where the heck you are.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
Nice. That's I'm looking forward to that. That's be great. And we talked about the Mission Space change earlier. The Chinese Pavilion, they're going to be getting a new movie in there, which sounds pretty cool because they haven't had a new movie in Epcot in a while.
Seamless
And now, okay, they're making that sound like it's a big thing. We all could take seamless pictures nowadays with our phones. Yes.
Well, but when you go into China today,
I know it's going to be
you have
great.
9-eye effect, right? 9 cameras all pointing in different directions.
Right. Sure.
It's cool.
Well, I'll be interested to see how they make the theater screens then.
I would think
you know, make it. How do they project on the screens when there's no breaks for the cameras?
I think it's the same thing. Yeah. They just have the digital technology now where they stitch the edge of the pictures together is what they do.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh, right. Well, now it's going to be a little interesting too, because part of the coolness of the different circle visions is you could see 9 different scenes. You're seeing the street in Hong Kong, and you're seeing like the guy making food there, the guy dancing over there. So how do you seamlessly do that? I guess you just make your own frames. Well, anyway, either way,
it's welcome.
It's very
it's
much
welcome.
Looking yeah. forward to it. It's going to be new. It's going to be a definitely brighter. It's going to be
mm-hmm.
digital. So looking forward
yeah.
to it.
I missed the poet.
Another. And who knows? He might not still be around.
Yeah.
We might still get a story. hopefully they'll tie it into the land and the way the pavilion.
Yeah. Doesn't Hardy have a joke about that in Canada? Yeah, it starts that way. Then they interrupt him.
One thing that really stuck out for me when Tom Fitzgerald was talking about Epcot, he was discussing how they have discovered how much the guests really love the Frozen ride. It is the number one ride right now in Walt Disney World.
Serious?
Not after Animal Kingdom.
Well,
yeah, with what survey?
Yes,
yeah.
that'll be changed, of course. But
sure.
They were going to bring more of the movies to Epcot. And you could kind of hear a little bit of a, not a gasp, but kind of a intake of breath among the thousands of people in there, because everybody's worried about it becoming too much Arendelle, you know, and not what
right.
Epcot really was set out to be. And he specifically said that they are planning to keep Epcot true to the vision that it was when it initially began. So I'm really.
I think you can have that blend.
I think you can too. I think you can have that blend,
well,
and I'm
I think
really
you can
excited
have the cultural. You know, historic things of the country, and still have some ride that appeals to kids, that has some type of movie tie-in, that is still okay. But like, you go to Norway now, and the ride doesn't. If you don't go ride the ride, you don't feel that way. You still get the whole Nor. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, there's a Norwegian village.
Sure. And
that's
cool.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you're leading up to the next attraction they announced, which is culturally fits right into World Showcase. It's the new Ratatouille.
Yay, I'm so happy.
Another net gain. I love the word net gain.
Net gain.
Right, because they're not replacing right. anything. As far as I know, the movie will still be there, and this is going
to
be behind.
Brand new.
Yep. to Disney World. Now, what's cool is what's cool and kind of odd is that this is the second ride they're taking from another park and replacing down in Walt Disney World. Which is good because, okay, let's take the best rides and throw them down there. I'm sure we're going to appreciate it. It just seems like it's an easy way to get a ride in a park.
Well, they did say that Ratatouille is the number one ride at Disneyland Paris. And they wanted to bring it to World.
So if we're getting the number one ride from Shanghai in Magic Kingdom, we're getting the number one ride from Disneyland Paris coming to Epcot. I mean, God, what more do you want?
Sounds like 2005.
Well, I tell you what,
that's what it sounds like.
I want the last announcement. That's what I want.
Well, let me. Can I Ratatouille? I'm not real happy about this one.
Why?
Really?
Well, I love that it's coming. Here's why I'm not happy. My absolute, and if you've listened to the show before, my absolute favorite place to have breakfast is at the Boulangerie Patisserie in France at 8 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody back there.
Oh,
that's
about
to completely change.
Bye-bye to that.
Bye-bye to that, because this is going behind the bakery, which means the bakery's right there to feed all these people that are going to come in early to ride this attraction, because it's going to be open at 9 o'clock now, not 11. So that's why I'm not happy, but I'm glad it's coming.
I was wondering why you were so upset.
That's why, because
totally
my breakfast spot's gone.
You make complete sense.
See, now that's going to be an odd one to open up early.
It already is. It's already open today. You can already get back there now, today. If you walk in the back way from the Epcot Resorts, there's a rope.
But you have to go from that
way. Well, you don't have to, because you can get back, because that International Gateway has always been open to walk to the front. So you can walk through England and Canada, although nothing's opened. So if you come to that rope, they'll let you go across the right to the bridge. You can't get to Morocco. There's more cast members there. But you can have breakfast and take pictures in France when nobody's there. Now that's
going to
be
I'm going to pastry in France, and they'll let you through.
Yep.
Cool. Real quick, I just had this little flash. When I was down there in July, the pathway that took you past where Figment is and took you to World Showcase, the right side, it was closed. You had to go to the middle path
or they get
the
other far there. Side. Or they get ready for
I guess
Food and wine,
I guess.
New booths. Before.
Yeah, they've been putting some permanents over there. Anyway.
FYI. Anyway, okay, well, so now the last announcement out of Epcot is probably the biggest announcement, in my opinion. This is something I saw in California already, so I'm interested to see what they're going to be bringing here, but the Guardians of the Galaxy are coming to Florida. They're going to be coming to Ellen's Energy Adventure and replacing it in there, and I tell you what, not sure exactly what they're going to do in here, although from the presentation, the big line that stuck out for me was that the ride itself story is about Peter Quill coming to Disneyland and going to Epcot when he was a kid. Hence, he's coming back to the park now to
because he's very nostalgic. You know, if you watch Guardians of the Galaxy,
interesting.
He's a nostalgic guy. He loves the music. He throws all kind of crazy, references out and stuff like that.
Right now, and I tell you what, seeing the one out in California, you got to think this is going to be nothing like it. It's not going to be as fast. And then second, the biggest question I have is, and you know what? When Disney takes a building and reuses it, they tend to keep the ride vehicle inside it.
There's no way they can do that here.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
This is going to be very similar to what happened to World of Motion when it became Test Track. If you remember World of Motion, it's that big circle, and Test Track broke a track that went out and came back around. Very similar. The building that is right now Ellen's Energy Adventure stays intact because it's not sinking like Horizons was, which is why they tore it down. It's intact. It becomes the queue, the gift shop, and the load area for some sort of attraction that's going to go out of the back, around, and back in. What exactly? Don't know. I'm expecting a roller coaster of some sort.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't know.
My money on it. We'll see.
He's putting money on it.
Yeah, we will see. And we're going to talk about it more as we go along, definitely. I don't see it being a roller coaster.
I think you should put a beer on it or something. Not money, but I think you definitely should bet a roll combo
I'm thinking,
or something.
I can't see them not using the type of graphics and screenshots they used in California in this. Of course, like I said, it's not going to be the same story, but I can't see them giving up using that incredible, incredible sharp video and just the way they tied it into the attraction. I don't know if you can have that with
the interesting part of both of those, Ratatouille and Guardians, is they will both be ready for 2021 and the 50th anniversary. So these are projects that are 4 years away.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And if you're keeping track, we're doing this year by year. So this is 2017. We opened up Pandora Land, or Disney opened up Pandora. Next year, 2018,
yes.
Toy Story
Land. Which date they announced. We didn't know that.
20.
Yeah.
Right, yep. So 2019, the following year, we're going to have Star Wars Edge. Galaxy's Edge. And then 2020, that's the interesting year. Is that just the year we don't have anything major in preparation to the 50th? I don't know.
All I can say...
But it definitely looks like your next popular year.
All I can say is Disney, take my money.
That's the plan. Yeah. That is the plan.
Keep taking it, right.
Right. Now, I tell you what, before we finish up, one last thing for Epcot they announced and they showed I wanted to talk about, and it's not that major like blockbuster type of change, but I think it's going to be. They showed a artist rendition of the entrance to Epcot. So that full entrance from where the rope drop or the turnstiles are, past to where Spaceship Earth is as you walk into the park further. And it looks a lot different than it does now. The tombstones seem to be going away. And it looks like, and the way they were describing it, the thing in my head, because right now at school, this is something that's really kind of important for us, is the whole STEM mentality came through. And they started going over the whole thing about what future world was meant to be like. People discovering technologies and using those technologies to go further and this and that. And it looks interesting in that they might just not have a walkthrough in that area. It might actually be things to do again as you're coming into Epcot.
That would be so great.
So,
I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me after all the announcements at D23, I saw one of these memes on Facebook, and it was a picture of Bob Iger. And it said something like Harry Potter Land, Volcano Bay, this, that. And it just said, Mickey, hold my beer.
That's right.
Watch this. I like that. That's good. Yeah. That's good too.
Now, and I tell you what, before we finish up tonight, it would be remiss of us not to just mention this really quick, since we all just saw this today, or yesterday, actually. Bob Iger was on TV making an announcement. In 2019, Disney is going to be streaming their own... How do we even say this? They're going to be streaming their own items, meaning their own movies.
Own streaming
their own content. Library. Yeah,
their content.
Right. So they're going to be getting off of Netflix. They're going to be stopping their deal with Starz Network. And they're going to be all doing it on their own. They didn't really have any details as far as costs or things like that. But definitely something to look forward to in the future. Well, we'll hold that. We'll see about
2019.
That. Definitely something to look at.
I would imagine it's going to be competitive. I mean, think about it. If they can get you, if they come out with a movie every 3 months that they release, and the movie's $20, if they could just get you for $10 a month every month,
mm-hmm.
let you watch whatever you want, it's a gain for them. And there's no overhead.
I think it might be finite, though. I think it eventually might become finite, meaning you'll get to the point where you've just seen so many of them already that. It might not be worth paying for the service.
Depends on what they do. And I think part of it that I read was it's not just going to be Disney movies, but it's also going to be a lot of ESPN content. If they include ABC content, if they move the whole thing over, man, I don't know. It could be.
Freeform stuff?
Yeah. So maybe they pull Marvel TV series from Netflix and do that on their own. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, again, with every other announcement,
it leaves it wide open. But I always thought it was interesting that they partnered with Netflix to begin with, because Disney owns a large part of Hulu.
Very quickly, we went through probably 90% of the things that were announced at D23. I can do the others very quickly to round this out, because we're going to come back to all of this.
Yes.
I think one of them that's cool is Charlotte and I, we talked about it back in our Epcot, what's coming in the next 5 years, and that was the official announcement of Disney Skyliner. Skyliner, that's the gondola system. The jury's still out, but it's great to see another transportation mechanism. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have little stores selling fans.
Right. Exactly. The minivan service, which is the Uber-like, if it turns out it's more Lyft-like than Uber-like, because that's the platform that they're using. We also heard about the Disney Riviera Resort, which is the new DVC property that's coming to the Caribbean beach with quote-unquote spectacular views of Epcot and Disney Hollywood Studios' nighttime fireworks. So that's kind of cool. At Disneyland, obviously, Galaxy's Edge was the big thing, and we all know about that. And by the way, there was no Animal Kingdom announcement other than showing us how great Pandora is.
Right.
It is great, by the way.
with no lines.
Yeah, they did. And last, at California Adventure, there are a few interesting things happening. One was the announcement of something called Pixar Fest, which is a celebration at the Disneyland Resort that's going to happen in 2018, which sounds a lot like the Star Wars Weekends thing coming to Disney California Adventure, but for Pixar. That's kind of cool.
And they're changing that to Pixar Pier.
Well, so, yes, the next announcement was the what's currently Paradise Pier, which is where Toy Story Midway Mania is. That's why it's called Midway Mania, because it's right there on the Midway. And California Screamin' and a whole bunch of other things will now become the Pixar Pier.
I've also heard that California Adventure, they're maybe dropping the California.
I haven't heard that, but
they didn't say
sure.
I just saw a news. I just saw somebody share that, who's a one of our people that are Disneyland oriented.
If you look at where California Adventure and where MGM Studios started, it's a different time and place, and those theme parks have been completely redone, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
The cool part of Paradise Pier, as I looked at it more, and I took lots of pictures while I was there, there are dozens of little attractions that are going to get rethemed. Everything from the Jumpin' Jellyfish to the Silly Symphony Swing to Goofy Sky Coaster and lots of little shops. I can't wait to see how the Pixar characters just take over this area. It's going to be so cool. That will really be cool.
That will be really cool. And don't forget that they hinted, they didn't give us a lot of details, but there's more Marvel coming to over where the Tower of Terror, the new Guardians of the Galaxy Tower of Terror is. They had hinted a little bit about it, but not any big details, but there's going to be much more Marvel coming to Disneyland.
Marvel Land.
Oh, they're going to make a lot of this. Yeah, they're going to make a lot of the stuff they have there now temporary for the summer of Marvel or whatever. They're just going to make that permanent through the fall, I think. They've got like three or four different autograph locations, and they have the one show with Scarlett Johansson's character with who was Spider?
Black Widow.
Is she Black Widow?
Black Widow, right? Yeah, it's with the show they have with Black Widow, and the different things they have over there. They even have like a Star Wars Padawan type movie over there for Marvel right now too. So they have a pretty nice little Marvel area.
I think there was a hint at a new ride, so that'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Right. I hope that doesn't take over the Monsters Incorporated ride, the one with all the doors.
I think you're going to lose a Bugs Land out there if anyone's familiar with the area.
I agree. I think that's what you'll lose.
The story, I don't think it's official that they're removing California from California Adventure. And I didn't read the whole story, but it's on www.info.com.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But it's just, it talks, and I didn't read the whole story, but it just talks about, soaring over California is going from that to soaring around the world. Paradise Pier is going to Pixar Pier. Tower of Terror went from basically something that was in Hollywood now to Mission Breakout. So
well, all that was part of Hollywood Land there, and I think
all the things that paid homage to California being a California Adventure Park are being rethemed, and they're opening Marvel Land, and they're slowly moving away from the original intent of the park, and all these things that paid homage to California are going away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar because the same thing is happening at Hollywood Studios.
Sure. Right.
Absolutely.
Very slowly. And I look at those two theme parks, and they all started with Michael Eisner under the same context, and at the time there were some great plans for him. It didn't work out, and they're reinventing both of them. And I think that's cool to watch.
Especially like Hollywood Studios, former MGM Studios, it lost its identity a long, long time ago.
It did.
Let's get one back. Yeah, I agree.
Just getting a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. It needed it.
Yes.
Just don't touch Tower Terror, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
One of the things that we did not touch on much was the new Star Wars resort that's coming. And I just wanted to, we had talked about Ms. Torres being the new voice for Mission Space Green, and she was in Westworld. And I just have to say that when I first heard about the new Star Wars resort, I really imagined that there were a few Imagineers watching Westworld thinking, wow, we could do this for Star Wars. And that's how we got the new Star Wars resort. I'm pretty excited for it. I know we have a whole new show we can discuss on that alone.
That's so soon for that one. So I am putting money down that that's after the 50th anniversary. We're not going to see it until then.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of construction going on property right now, hotel-wise.
Yeah.
Around Pop Century and the ESPN corner there, Buena Vista and Victory kind of intersect.
Construction there's just everywhere.
Out
in the it's been that way for a while now, too.
Just out in the middle of the parking lot, Magic Kingdom. I don't know what they're doing out there. There's all kind of stuff going on.
Middle
out
of
there.
Parking lot, like where the Speedway used to be, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Some flyovers is what I'm hearing, or ways to get over. Traffic goes over top of things.
Okay, guys. Well, that's it for show number 197. We've talked about the D23 announcements, some of the experiences that Sam and Charlotte have had. If you have any questions, definitely send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show. And to do that...
You can email the show at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Make sure to check out the Disney Nerds Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. Join the Disney Nerds group. That's just Disney Nerds, all caps. Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast. Twitter at the Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the Disney Nerds Podcast live show every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time via Facebook Live on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page.
Okay, guys, don't forget, November is coming up. Now, November, the first weekend of November is our Disney Nerds Meet, our fourth annual. So we're looking forward to meeting up with everybody. That's that first weekend of November. Friday night's going to be our half sample-thon in Epcot, and then Saturday is going to be our scavenger hunt. So hit the Facebook podcast page, and you'll see the information there for the invites.
Yep, just check out the event section. I've also copied those over into the group as well, so you can see them either one of those places.
Excellent. Okay, guys, so that is it for this week. For Sam, Jimmy, Charlotte, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Congaloosh.
Just keep swimming.
Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free.